This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You'll never find, it'll take the end of all time, someone to understand you.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano in studio with a combined 13 state championships, 3 for Tony Irons, 10 for his dad, Floyd. Tony with 6 Final Fours, and I think he's going to add to that state championship list. How old are you, Coach?
I just turned 35.
Oh, yeah. Coach, you're 10 maybe in trouble. He may pass you before it's all said and done, and you wouldn't mind seeing that, I guess.
Exactly.
All right, so much to discuss. I was amazed the other night when we see Cameron Fletcher, a guy that we had not heard too much about. And then, Coach, you sent me a picture of Calipari, went to watch him. And then that night it was Izzo, Travis, Corey, Creighton was there. How special is this kid?
He has a chance to be really special. I think his best basketball actually is ahead of him. He's a kid that, like, coming in was kind of raw a little bit. You know how it is when kids have a little bit of size at an early age. Sometimes they're, you know, put in the post and stuff like that. And he never really developed as many perimeter skills as he has now. So he's constantly getting better. And he's somebody that I feel like once he, you know, his confidence gets there and he understands, you know, how special he has a chance to be, he really can be.
Because he really shoots it, too, in addition to being a high wire actor. At least the shots I saw, like the form looked good.
Yeah, his form is really nice. I mean, he's got good mechanics. And, you know, and I think with repetition and stuff like that, I think he has a chance to be an elite-level shooter. But right now he's an athlete and he's a kid that can impact the game from a different variety of different ways.
A typical Vajon practice, how many shots will he get up from three-point range?
He stays after, he comes in early and he stays after. So I would say about 200-300 right now. We're trying to get it more, you know, but at the end of the day, you don't want to force it either. You want him to be able to be the one to want to stay in and want to get those type of shots because that ends up how you become a better player.
As good as your teams were, when you look at the athleticism on that team like right now, how do you compare them?
Frank, this group or this day and age kids are a lot more athletic, I guess because of a lot they're exposed to. And Tony was talking about the number of shots that Cam gets up, and he's got 3 good players or with 3 good coaches that can work with him. You know, I thought my son shot the ball real well because he spent a lot of time shooting. Joe Shelton, who's in the gym.
He's on your staff?
Quite often.
Well, he comes around. He's not really technically on the staff, but, you know, we welcome him anytime he wants to come
in. Yeah, and he's the best shooter in Vashon history, point blank, correct?
Well, Joe Shelton is one of the best shooters that I've come in contact with. And Jimmy McKinney, who also shot the ball
pretty well, yeah.
So, you know, they work with him and challenge him all the time when I'm around.
Joel's range, we have to say this, he had more range than anybody I've ever seen. Would you agree?
I agree.
Remember him, he'd almost pull across the timeline, he'd be in his range.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, you know, pound for pound, you know, Joel's one of the best ball players I've had a chance to get in contact with.
Now, why didn't you end up playing for your dad? You went to Luther North, won a state title.
That's a question you got to ask him, Frank.
Oh, you blew this, huh?
I definitely blew it, Frank, and I had to come home every night to not hear it, but if he had played for me, I would have had to hear my wife every night as to why my son was not getting enough playing time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he had 3 good kids that were ahead of him. And, you know, so with that in mind, I had to deal with it. And we talk about it, that's probably one of the worst mistakes I've ever made, not to coach my son during the regular season.
What's the best thing he does as a coach?
Well, I think what he does best is he listens and he has a passion for the game and he's a student of the game and I think he relates to the kids, you know, real well.
Hmm. Real well. Do you think you'll be doing this? You're 35. Mm-hmm. You said 35. Do you think you could be doing this 20 years from now and have 900 victories?
I mean, that's a long way away. One thing I can say is that, like, you know, when I got done playing, that I always wanted to be around basketball. That's my passion. And to be able to provide opportunity for people to be able to get the same things that I got out of it was at the top of my list. So I know there's nothing that I can see myself doing in the near future that does not involve basketball, whether that's coaching or whatever the case may be. But I love what I do. So, I mean, I don't really have a necessary timetable on it, but I just know that basketball is something that I want to continue to pursue until I can't do it anymore.
Okay, so he's being a little nebulous on the answer, not committing full time. Now, I understand. But see, I always thought that if you are in a situation like you have, well, you're probably guaranteed of having really good players and winning a lot of games. And then knowing every day that you wake up at the same location, you don't have to worry about, you know, recruiting a kid or being on a staff in college, he gets fired and you got to move on to the next staff and everything. I always thought that's a pretty good situation. And the money may not be quite the same, but it's a pretty good life, isn't it?
No, it is. It is. And I think that the biggest thing about all of it is like getting the chance to see like kids that may not have as many opportunities get opportunities when it's done. I think that's number one at the list. So to have like former players or people come back and get a chance to like talk to them about how their lives are different because of a game, you know, I think that's the stuff that makes you want to like stay in this probably until you're 100 years old, if you're blessed to be that old. But, you know, there's, you know, like me, I want to, you know, my job coming into Vashon was want to make sure that Vashon was a better place than it was when I got it.
Now, were you ever close, Coach Irons, Floyd Irons, to leaving? Was it ever?
Well, yes. I guess one time when I had a player, and I guess the hardest thing is to accept that or to have to go through losing a player by the way of who dying was killed. And that really stuck a knife into me. And
this was Sean Tunstall?
Sean was one. But, okay. I had a player by the name Malik.
Okay,
Malik,
yeah.
White.
Yep.
Who was in an unfortunate incident and got killed. And that really stuck a knife into my heart. And I, you know, you don't, it's just like a father not wanting to see a kid, none of your kids pass away. You're hoping that your kids bury you. You don't bury your kids. So I dealt with that, and I dealt with that for a whole year. And I contemplating on just stepping down and moving on. Like Tony said, you know, it's you know, you're giving up something you enjoy doing. And the passion of watching kids develop, kids given a better opportunity to get the exposure to go on to do something better in life is more rewarding than, you know, than the monetary value that the little money that you do get.
Did you ever look at a college job, either as an assistant or as a head coach, and were you ever close in that regard?
I looked twice. I looked into the situation with Tim Floyd. He offered me a job twice. And then on the third time around, he said it won't be a third time. We're still close.
Iowa State at the time?
No, he was at New Orleans
at the time. Oh, New Orleans. Okay, yeah.
New Orleans in the 80s, and then went to Iowa State. And then when he got ready to go to the Chicago Bulls, he said that I didn't think he was going he would try to woo me away. But, yes, I looked into it. And, you know, being assistant coach at the time and going through the grind, and I had my son and I had my wife, and, I had the best of two worlds. I was – an administrator, the principal of the school, and the coach at the same time. So, hey, that, you know, what more did I want? What could I ask for?
How many total years for you now, Coach?
Say that again.
How many total years for you now?
This is my 10th.
10th.
Do you notice a difference in coaching a kid now as opposed to 10 years ago in terms of the kid himself?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, even in 10 years. So, like,
wow.
Me and my dad talk about this all the time. Like, I think just with time, things evolve. So you have, like, social media now, I think, is bigger than what it was 10 years ago. I think it was on the cusp, but I think now it's become, like, a phenomenon where, like, there are so many different things that kids are exposed to than they probably weren't as exposed to 10 years ago. So everyone is, like, kind of highlight, you know, evolved a little bit. Like, they kind of, you know, they want the acclaim, they want the media attention, they want all of that type of things. And I think 10 years ago, kids were, I would say, maybe a little bit, no, I don't want to say like hungry or anything like that, but I think that was less that they had to kind of, you know, put on as far as the perception is concerned.
Do you ever,
as opposed to now?
Yeah, are you ever concerned that are you getting on a really good player in a real tough fashion day after day, that player will leave you?
I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, like my dad said, it's you're more of a father figure to a lot of these kids, and I'm probably not old enough to be I guess I am now, but being a father figure to them means that sometimes you're going to tell them things that they don't want to hear, and it means that you're going to be on them, you're going to be tough on them, and at the end of the day, if they really truly understand that's, you know, that it comes out of love, then, you know, it is what it is. You know, I would say last year, I lost a kid that ended up transferring to East St. Louis that was kind of in that same scenario as far as...
That you were tough for pushing him?
Tough on him, you know, kind of at times probably didn't want to tell him. You know, I told him what he probably didn't want to hear a lot of times, but it was just honest. And it was, you know, it would all, you know, to make him a better player and a better person, a better man. So at the end of the day, it didn't go, you know, it probably could have gone, and he ended up leaving. So that type of stuff happens, but at the end of the day, you can't concern yourself with it. You just have to be able to look in the mirror and say, I've done everything that I could to be able to help this kid get to a point. And then once he gets to that point, it's someone else's job now to take it and kind of carry it on.
Coach Floyd Irons, how do you push a kid to the max but not over the edge?
Well, you know, Frank, I think most kids that you bring in over time will know, you know, we sometimes don't give kids a lot more credit than they do in terms of they know, even your kids at home know when the adult or when the parent has got their best interests at heart. And you got to learn the kids, you got to know the kid. And by being around, and that's part of your job of doing that. I want to piggyback on what Tony said about kids. You asked the question, are the kids different? Well, are they different? Yes, I think they're different. You know, there's a lot more that they're exposed to. And they don't necessarily take sometimes what you say to heart because they got the social media. You know, I'm a practice person. You know, I love the opportunity to go to practice and see kids develop and see that what you've done in practice move on. Today, I look at, you know, the kids walk in and I have some pet peeves and I see kids walk in and they don't have them in practice, but they're walking in with music in the ear. They're walking in. The first thing they do, they want to hook up the telephones in the plugs. And, you know, Tony looks at me and I say, the hairstyles today, you know, that drives me crazy.
Did you have a policy on the hairstyle? Like, what did you do? Because I remember we did a documentary on you guys one year.
Well, you know, one of the things that we, you know, we stressed was the fact that, you know, you look the part. You don't get but one chance to make a first impression. And so I just told the kids that when I decide to wear my hair long, which it can go long, then you can wear yours long. So, but you know,
you never let them do that.
No.
And you also, let's see, you had another thing that I liked that was really, even the uniforms at Vishon. You were a big advocate of them wearing uniforms. Weren't you one of the first?
Well, no doubt. You know, we changed and we wanted the stylish uniforms because – you know, that was a method to the madness. You know, you wanted to impress kids who were watching, and it was not more about the adults, but more about the kids. And I felt that at some point it was entertainment, not only a basketball game, but you're coming to a show.
Mm.
And it worked.
Coach, you got a big one coming up, Coach Tony Irons against Belleville West. Everybody looking forward to the the matchup with EJ Liddell. God, showing my age here. You've seen him. You think he's really special.
I do. I think he has a chance to be really good. You know, I think time will tell, you know, as far as, like, you know, how he's going to be as, you know, a college player and probably beyond that. But, I mean, you see, like, when you watch a lot of basketball now, you see kids that are talented, but there's some intrinsic things that they may not possess. Like, it may not be a toughness. It may not be a kind of an edge to them. And I think that when you watch him, you see the competitiveness, you see the toughness, you see those things. And those things that nowadays are skill. And if you have those, you're better off. A good person to use is like Jordan Goodwin, for instance, when he was in high school. He may not have been the most talented kid, like, nationally, but I got a chance to watch him in AAU. and he competed with a lot of guys that were probably higher ranked than him and more talented and bigger, but just his competitiveness was part of the reason why he was so successful. And you see EJ has a lot of those same attributes that I think once he gets into a college, you know, environment, he's going to flourish.
Here's a question for both of you. Of the three, Cartier, Cook at Iowa, and EJ, who has the best chance of making an NBA paycheck one day? Gut feel. Can't hedge.
Can't hedge.
I'm going to say Tyler Cook right now because I think that that's probably, I mean, he's probably the closest one to that. So if I had to bet money or something like that, I would say him because I think his eyes right now were probably, I think he was on a draft board or two before. So
check the latest NBA mock, see where Cook is right now.
So I would say him, and then, I mean, I think all three of them have a chance. I know that's probably maybe a cop-out answer, but like, I think all three of them have a good chance of possibly doing it if things go right. But,
all right, what do you think, Coach, of the three?
I would agree with Tony. I've had a chance to watch Tyler Cook, and I thought he played in the shadows of Tatum, which is not bad to play in the shadows of. And he's paid his dues, and I think he really, really wants to get to that next level. I think once Cartier realized how well he could be.
You know what's amazing?
On and off the court.
Yeah.
That you know, he could be definitely a prospect.
We were talking about Cartier today, and he's 6'8 and a half and 235. He's actually undersized as a four in that league, so he'd have to be kind of a stretch three. I guess he could do that because he does have pretty good ball skills, as you've seen.
Yeah, he does. He has good ball skills. I think, like my dad kind of just allotted to, it's more with him, I think it's just a maturation process of understanding that, like, you know, if this is something that you want to do for a long term, if you want to make this a career, that there are some things that you're going to have to buy into and stuff like that. And I think he's done that so far. And I think he's probably exceeded a lot of people's expectations as far as, like, how mature he was going to be kind of going into SLU and stuff like that. But I think his talent is not questioned. I think at one point he was, what, a top five player in the country or something like that. So, like, you know that, you know, he's got the talent and stuff like that. But just making it to that level, like, a lot of things have to happen. There's some luck involved and stuff like that. But I think all three of those kids that you mentioned, like, are on great paces to be able to possibly do that.
Is Tyler, go ahead.
You know, I think Cartier is in a great situation with because he's got a workaholic to listen to. And if he's got those attributes, it's going to come out. And I think that Travis Ford is one. You know, I've watched him as a kid, and I know how hard he works. And I'm sure he works just as hard off the court than he does on the court when he was a player.
How about Mario McKinney at Mizzou? A lot of Tiger fans listen to this program. What do you think?
I think Mario is going to be a special player at Mizzou. I think that you know, one of the biggest things, we had an opportunity before Mario decided that he wanted to attend Mizzou. Coach Martin, myself, Mario, his dad, and Jimmy, we all had a conversation. And, you know, one of the things that kind of stood out was Coach Martin talked about, you know, just the process of what it was going to be like. And, you know, kind of letting Mario understand that, you know, a lot of people, and I think this is kind of hard with a lot of kids, is that outside noise, you know, people, they're going to want the process to happen probably a lot faster than, you know, it's capable of happening. So the day he steps on campus, a lot of people are going to have expectations of him, you know, immediately. And I think that as long as Mario understands that it's going to take time and he's going to continue to get better day by day, I think when Mario graduates or whenever, you know, it happens at Mizzou, I think that his career is going to be really, really special.
How big? 6'2" and a half?
He's about 6'2".
Okay. So, and he doesn't have, like, a defined position. He's just a player, right? He can play 1-2 and guard some threes.
Yeah, and the thing that I think is going to get him on the floor a lot earlier is the fact that, like, kind of what I talked about with Jordan and EJ is that Mario's a competitor. And being a competitor, like, he's able to impact the game, you know, from a defensive standpoint, bringing energy and stuff like that. And when you watch Mizzou play now, I think there's always, you know, I think they have really good basketball players, but I think they're missing that one game-changing from a defensive and an energy standpoint. And I think that that's what Mario is capable of going in and being able to do if everything else pans out the way it's supposed to.
Well, I think he's going to work well with the kid. What is the kid from Simeon? You know,
Pinson got the
same type of toughness. Mario might be a little bit more athletic than, but if I think that, you know, Konzo is going to find out that he's a warrior. He reminds me of if that kid, the kid Geis.
Oh yeah,
who
yeah.
Now who you know, to me he got that stuff that you don't necessarily teach in that toughness.
Yeah,
and Mario has that.
How about Yuri Collins from St. Mary's, who's going to SLU? A lot of Billiken fans listening. You've coached against him. What do you think?
I think Yuri's a really, really good basketball player. I think that his IQ for the game and knowing how to play is probably one of the best in the area, if not the best. I think he's also a kid that understands who he is, and I think that's a lot of, you know, that's something that doesn't happen nowadays either, is that like you have people that want to live up more than what they're possibly capable of being, and I think he understands what his strengths and what his weaknesses are, and I think that he maximizes his strengths, which is, you know, he knows how to run a team. He makes plays for other people. He's, you know, a pass-first point guard, and that's something that you definitely don't see nowadays, is somebody who enjoys giving the ball to people as much as scoring it himself.
Cook on the list?
54th best prospect, so a late second rounder, but okay. Most say if he stays, it's a legit first round prospect if he stays again.
So he's a junior now.
I think so.
Yeah.
Boy, guys don't stay 4 years. That's good. All right, we only got about 2 minutes left. One final question for each of you. Coach Irons, put into words what it's like seeing your flesh and blood do what you did and do it at an equally high level.
I'm still jittery at going to the games and watching him. So, you know, at that level, it's exciting. It's kind of hard to put in words, you know, trying to be a spectator, trying to be a coach in the stands, and then the father figure too, you know, all in one. What more can you ask for? You know, Tony and I never really sit down, had a long conversation about coaching. And when he decided to go into coaching, ironically, he got into the same way I did, coaching an intramural team. And it's great to see him with that passion. And it's great to sit back and watch him do some of the things that maybe I wanted to do. And I really feel he's going to be a lot better than I was as a coach.
Is he advising you less and less after each state championship and each state championship now?
Well, I guess, you can say that. I think early on when I first started coaching, I think that, you know, he just like anybody, would want their kid to be successful kind of right away. And we had conversations about, like, just I listened to somebody that you interviewed earlier about, like, you have to fail first before you can have success. And I think that my first year was like a learning curve. And in order, he could have easily been the person to kind of, like, get in the way of that and kind of, you know, kind of help me through that whole process. But one thing was understood, that like if I wanted to do this, that I was going to have to make mistakes and I was going to have to learn from those mistakes and be able to kind of grow as a coach. And I think early on in my career, we had some times that were kind of rough, and being able to kind of adjust to them and kind of learn from them is kind of why, you know, as of late, we've been having the success that we've been having.
And where'd you go that first year?
I think 11 and 13, something like that. Lost the first round of districts, ironically, to Vishon.
Oh, because you were at
Imagine College Prep.
Okay, yeah. Good stuff, guys. You're an incredible success story. 13 combined state championships and still growing. Coach Floyd Irons, Coach Tony Irons, thanks so much for being a part of the program.
Appreciate
you
having
us. On the last note, I had a chance to listen to two of my favorite players, and I'm glad
Scott Highmark and Ryan.
Exactly, both of them.
Yeah. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
All right. You want to tell us about one of our great sponsors.
Ryan Kelly. They're at the office today. Give them a call, 314-71-9700. If you want to refinance or are looking to buy a new home, they're the people to call. 314-71-9700. Or visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
All right. The Bomberito Automotive family sponsors the show content of this program. If you get a chance, go to bomberito.com. Go through their extensive inventory of new cars, pre-owned cars, 20 new car locations, and 9 pre-owned car locations. They do an unbelievable job at Bomberito. And Winning Streak is the company run by Chris Brown from across the river. They have the best team apparel, the best three-quarter inch zips and polos. 888-570-6194, 888-570-6194, winning-streak.com. We appreciate them being a part of the program. All right, we'll take a short time out. Chuck Marlowe going to take over here at 12 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow with Rob Raines and Alvin Reed.